The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to Cinema by the Campfire, where I reminisce and analyze the films I believe have really influenced the world of cinema. I'm your host, Odyssey, and it's my job to take you on that journey. Hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome back to another episode of Cinema by the Campfire. I'm your host once again, Odyssey, and today we're going to talk about a movie that I loved as a kid and gained a lot of respect for as I grew older. And that movie, or movies I should say, is the Kung Fu Panda trilogy. I would say this is one of the few movies that I know the lines by heart. I've watched it so many times. If you haven't watched the movies, I'll give a little background. Made by DreamWorks, it's recognized as the company's second biggest franchise behind Shrek. It stars a panda played by Jack Black, and he discovers that he's been chosen as a dragon warrior and must protect his home from the infamous Tai Lung while still only being an average panda. The Kung Fu Panda trilogy is so underrated. I want to talk about the specific ways these movies use the animated art form to the max, the influences that made them so great, and the profound themes found in all three installments. It's been over 14 years since the first Kung Fu Panda came out. That movie is from another decade, and yet I still feel like the animation could hold up today. In comparison, the first film stands out even more when you compare it to the other animated movies that were being released at the time. When your animation choices look like Madagascar 2, Bolt, Monsters vs. Aliens, and Space Chimps, an alternative that looks like this is pretty striking. Part of that came from animators who really cared about what they were making, and part of it also came from a CEO named Jeffrey Katzenberg, who really wanted this movie to do well. I think in some ways, the Kung Fu Panda trilogy is the closest American animation studio has ever gotten to making something that echoes Studio Ghibli. Sure, it has a lot of more Western slapstick and overall plot than something Ghibli would ever make, but the visuals themselves and the world of China that the series constructs can only be described as magical realism. Much like the worlds and visuals of Ghibli, and really the world of the Kung Fu Panda trilogy, is one of the areas aided the most by its animation. One of Ghibli's biggest strengths is their ability to construct places, settings, and stories that feel like they've existed long before the film began and will continue to exist long after it ends. Kung Fu Panda does the same thing beautifully, that each location feels real and lived in. The animators of the trilogy took several trips to China over the course of each production and modeled lots of the environments and architecture on real things they saw. The movies have a very awe-inspiring natural world too, with mountains, deserts, and valleys modeled off real places in Asia. Production designer Raymond Zibok had said the team was inspired heavily by watercolor paintings and ancient Chinese art, and even the abstract work of American artists like Disney's Mary Blair, who's done concept art for Peter Pan and Cinderella. Anime was also used as a big source of inspiration, such as the dream sequence that opens the first film, and really reminds you that just how great 2D animation can really be. Even cooler is that the opening scene was actually animated by James Baxter, who did movies like Beauty and the Beast and Prince of Egypt. The second movie opens with a shadow puppet scene, which was another callback to ancient China, and a way to look into the film with something unique. 2D animation is just used really well throughout the movies. The animation in this trilogy does more than just construct a world. It also aids the action within that world. When I think of great fighting scenes for animated films, I think of Kung Fu Panda. There's the incredible Tai Lung prison escape scene, and there's the rope bridge fight with The Furious Five, which has cool choreography and great use of the set piece. It was described by the animators as the single most demanding and complex sequence in the whole film. There's Shifu's fight with Tai Lung, which has many raw moments and images that tell a story. Also, Po's stand against Chen's entire army, deflecting the cannonballs when he finds inner peace. And in the third movie, the battle in the spirit realm. The choreography is great. Every punch is filled with so much energy. Every fight uses its set piece to its advantage, and at every turn, emphasizes the individual fighting styles of each animal. It forces them to clash. Shen uses peacock feathers to distract his opponents before a surprise attack, which mimics a real kung fu fighting style, involving fans. Crane uses his wings to push the boat together, something no other character could have done. Viper strangles Tai Lung and makes him punch himself. Mantis sneaks out of his cage to avoid detection. Tigress uses her strength and speed to boost Po to catch up with an enemy. Of course, the entire trilogy sees Po learning to use his own physical characteristics to his advantage, despite how different he is from other animals. More on that later. While we're talking about individual fighting styles, get into how the animation elevates the characters. The fact that these movies have animals as characters at all is a testament to something only animation could achieve. I mean, you could do that in live action, but I don't really think it's the best idea. Oogway was right in saying that Po's appearance at the ceremony was no accident, either. He didn't magically drop out of the sky, but he did strap fireworks to a chair, all because he was willing to blow himself up just to get a chance to see his kung fu heroes. That was no accident. It was a passion that proved he deserved to be the Dragon Warrior. He just needed someone like Oogway, and later Shifu, who was willing to see greatness in him. We all need people like that. Shifu lets go of control in the first movie by accepting the hand he's been dealt and willingly training Po despite his doubts about him. And to do it, he has to take a very different approach, trains him by using food. In the third movie, the idea that anyone can learn Kung Fu is brought to the forefront as Po trains the Panda Village to fight Kai. And how does he do it? By accepting what he can't change. Seeing potential in what he's got and training everyone according to their gifts, much like Shifu did for him all those years ago. Now looking at the designs from Kung Fu Panda, they convey more character than in other films. Look at a guy like Master Oogway and you know everything you need to know about him. A wise turtle. The same is true of the villains. The villains in this movie, they're so good. Tai Lung is this brutal animal and terrifying tank who seems completely unstoppable. The second movie, Shen is this narcissistic peacock who brings more of an intellectual threat than his predecessor, though he's also pretty formidable on his own. Kai is a literal raging bull who demonstrates his strength by taking down Oogway in the first scene. The opponents of all three movies are so delightfully evil and instantly iconic that they immediately bring to mind classic Disney villains like Jafar and Scar, Ursula. In fact, when you look at a lot of those Disney and Pixar's more recent villains, many of whom have been twisted reveals in the third act, the Kung Fu Panda's villains stand out even more because they get to relish their evil every second of the way. I gotta say, despite the first Kung Fu Panda having a pretty all-star voice cast, it's one of the few animated movies of that era where the famous actors pretty much disappear into their roles. How's a character who was practically made for Jack Black, yet when I watch him, I don't spend every second thinking about how it's Jack Black. I'm just watching Po. I think a lot of this comes from the character design and the way they can emote and act even without words. It's pure magic, and it really shows what animation can do when you embrace it wholeheartedly. At first glance, it might look like the Kung Fu Panda series is built around a pretty common trope. In fantasy movies, the one character is a normal guy, but one day he finds out there's a prophecy that says he's the most important person in the universe, and he's destined to save the world. All he has to do is believe in himself, and he'll unlock his magical powers, fulfill his destiny, and become the Chosen One. Contrary to most Chosen One narratives, Poe is not a miraculously or supernaturally gifted hero. He never unlocks a superpower that somehow makes him muscular or nimble like everyone else. He doesn't have the same skills that other Kung Fu masters have, and while he definitely learns and improves throughout all three movies, he never magically physically transforms. He's still just a normal looking Poe. He just learns to embrace those traits rather than try to escape them. To see the potential and purpose in things he can't change about himself. In the second movie, he makes peace with the fact that he can't change or undo the pain of the past. But it hasn't made him who he is today, and good has come out of it. After he embraces what he can't change, Poe realizes that his weight is not really a problem. Everyone bullies him constantly for being flabby and having a big belly, but as he discovers in the third movie, looking big and cuddly is not a health problem for him. It's something inherent to being a panda in the first place. And his bouncy resilience actually gives him an advantage over his foes, especially when he discovers that his fat prevents him from being affected by Tai Lung's chi blocker. Poe shatters all preconceived notions of what a kung fu master should look like. And that's a philosophical value the movie holds and establish even outside of his character. Oogway, the creator of kung fu and the greatest master to ever live, is a tortoise. He's the slowest, most unlikely animal of all, and yet he's also the most spiritual and most powerful. If you look at the philosophy of the Kung Fu Panda trilogy in a grander sense, it's about relinquishing control over life and seeing purpose, potential, and destiny in everything and everyone. And it's all summed up in one line. It's a line Oogway says in the very first movie when Shifu is frustrated that Poe was chosen as a dragon warrior by accident. The quote goes, and I quote, "It was an accident. There are no accidents," end quote. It's understandable why Shifu feels the way he does. It seems like a coincidence that Poe landed in front of Oogway that day, but Oogway isn't just saying that there are no accidents. As Shifu discovers, what he's really saying is that if you're willing to have faith and believe that there are no accidents, every apparent accident can be your destiny. Sometimes the supernatural forces at play, God, the universe, fate, whatever you want to call it, do their best work through events that seem like accidents. You just have to let go of the illusion of control and see the purpose and potential in everything. The biggest revelation I've had in recent years is that oftentimes, the most divine and miraculous things can seem ordinary or accidental at first glance. And if you want to think they're ordinary, they'll stay that way. They only manifest as divine and miraculous if you're open to believing that they are. People are often the same way. The trilogy ultimately concludes on a message of inclusivity and universality, where Kung Fu goes from an elite and exclusive practice in the very first movie to something taught and embraced by all the citizens of the valley. In their own unique ways, it's the natural progression of a series that promoted the idea of finding significance and destiny in everything. It ends with Poe, Shifu, and the Furious Five finding significance in everyone, and that significance, that sense that everything might be divine and destined and purposed, if you allow it to be, spread all across China, and it's why Kung Fu Panda is so great. It would be the final installment of the series with the release of Kung Fu Panda 3 in 2016. I really like how it went full circle. Anyways, I'll conclude episode 6 of Cinema by the Campfire. Hope you enjoyed today's topic, and if you haven't watched Kung Fu Panda, please watch it. I highly recommend it. Make sure to tune in next week for another exciting episode. So let's put out the campfire. As your host, Odyssey, thank you so much for listening.